This is another episode of Stand Up Comedy, your host and MC, celebrating 40 plus years on the fringe of show business. Stories, interviews, and comedy sets from the famous and not so famous. Here's your host and MC, Scott Edwards.
Hey, welcome, ladies and gentlemen. It's Bonus Podcast Wednesday, and we got a special treat for you. An audience of one is here to present one of my favorite comics and best friends in the business. Ladies and gentlemen, all the way from Minnesota, it's Tim Bador.
Hey, everybody. Hello.
Good to have you on the show. I heard that you have maybe a good road story to share.
Well, I have a road story that it's of my first week on the road, and it involves somebody you know well, somebody that helped me quite a bit get started in comedy.
Oh, I can't wait.
Your friend and mine, Bruce Baum.
Oh, yeah, Bruce Baum. For those in the audience, Bruce Babyman Baum. You've heard a couple of his comedy sets on the shows and his interviews coming up. But tell us the story, Tim. How did you and Bruce travel?
Well, I started out in Sacramento, and at your club was the first time I was on stage. I was working in radio there, and then I took a gig in Houston. I was there for about a year doing radio and worked at those clubs. Then San Francisco with another radio gig, and I worked at San Francisco clubs. But, you know, you can't travel when you're on the air 50 weeks per year. So I hadn't done a road gig. Like most comics, when they start, you're going to eventually, if you're starting in San Francisco, you would go to Sacramento and work Laughs Unlimited, and you'd stay at a comedy condo, that kind of thing.
Right.
I hadn't done that until 1985, and Bruce, who has been such a good friend and supporter, and he got me my first road gig. I was opening for Bruce at the Seattle Comedy Underground.
Oh.
And, you know, well-regarded club and the whole thing.
So you've been a comic for several years, but your first actual road gig. Interesting.
Right. Yeah. It was probably 3 or 4 years in before I actually went on the road because I couldn't. I was on the radio as well. So we get to the club. Didn't go to the comedy condo first. So now the comedy condo is the apartment or house that the club owns or rents to put the comics up so they don't have to pay for hotels for 2, 3, 4 guys. Our flights were later. We went to the club first. We did our first, like, Tuesday night shows. And then the owner, our manager, told us that there was something wrong with the condo. And, in fact, there's something very wrong with the condo.
Yikes.
Everything had been stolen. And I mean everything.
Somebody stripped the place.
Stripped the place.
Oh, wow.
There was just about nothing there. I mean, in the common areas. Couches, chairs, end table, TV, phone, stuff that was on the wall. Everything.
Welcome to Seattle. Here's a box.
Yeah. And he said, you know, we just found out, got to get new stuff for you, don't worry. There were beds, and there was, they didn't take the refrigerator or the stove, good.
Nice.
The only thing that was left was a small dinette table and 2 chairs. So we went to a grocery store first. The manager drove us to the grocery store, and we got some supplies and stuff. And then we went to the condo, and there's just nothing there. I mean, it was amazing. You're in an empty apartment minus this table, 2 chairs, and a pile of book matches that were put into a pyramid. There could have been 500 book matches. Somebody, probably the person that ripped the place off, had decided to make some sort of statement by making a mountain of these book matches. It was just the oddest damn thing.
Wow.
So, yeah, really weird. So, and they suspected that it was the person who was supposed to clean the condo because it wasn't clean, and that waitress, who was also the cleaning person, suspiciously didn't show up for work on Tuesday night.
Suspiciously, yes.
Kind of suspect that it was her. So we sit down. Now, try to picture this. There's 500 book matches in a pile in the middle of this small table. I put a box of Rice Chex on the table because I like to snack on Rice Chex. That was between Bruce and I. On my side of the box of Rice Chex, there was a glass of water. I was having some refreshing water after the show. Bruce was having some refreshing pot. He saw the situation. There's no TV. There's no phone. There's no place to sit, read a magazine, book. And Bruce decided, as he often did at the time, to get stoned. And proceeded to, and I didn't. I would get too introverted on pot, so I didn't smoke. But he had, you know, a pipe, and he got a little stoned, got a little relaxed. Okay. So I'm just bored out of my mind. I've never been in a place in my life where there was not a TV or a radio. And until you are in that kind of situation, you don't know how it will make you climb the wall.
Oh, yeah. And we need to make sure people know this was back in the 80s. There's no cell phones. Yeah. There's not.
No cell phone.
Yeah. Computers sitting around. Yeah.
No. There was. You relied on the TV just to, you know, burn a couple, 2-3 hours. You had all that energy from the show. So I'm bored. And I took the top book of matches and I lit a match and I held it upright, my index finger and thumb, and I was just staring at it because I just wanted to see some light that was moving. If it wasn't TV, it would just be a match.
Right.
For entertainment. That's how, and it went halfway down, burned halfway down, and went out. And I said to Bruce, I did that with my mind. Can you put out matches with your mind? So Bruce is stoned. And he's always game. You know Bruce. He's
a gamer. Yeah.
He's more than willing to take a shot at something. So he picks up a match, book of matches, lights it, stares at it intently, clearly trying to put it out with his mind. I'm the middle act. I mean, he's the headliner. Certainly, if I can do it, he can do it. So
it just goes to say the hierarchy, he should have the power.
Yeah, absolutely. So he's staring at the match, and I can't believe that he's doing it, but he lets it burn all the way down. And and it kind of burned his fingers. So now the first time that I did this, it was just random. It went out on its own halfway down. Every match after that, Bruce couldn't see it because my box of Rice Chex was hiding my glass of water. But I was preparing my next match while Bruce was staring at his. I was dipping the paper match in the water.
That's perfect.
And then when he was done, I'd light it and I'd stare at it and stare at it and stare at it. Oh my God, it went out.
It's magic.
How do I have these powers? I never knew I had this kind of power. Bruce, you know, he lights another match, and it goes all the way down. Ow! It cinches his finger. Now, I swear to God, we went through 2.5 books of matches.
Oh, no. His fingers must have been raw.
Yes, it got to the point where he would light it with his right hand, but then switch it to his left because the fingers on his right hand were stinging. They were... You know,
burn.
Red and swollen. And I don't know how I even held it all in because I was dying inside.
Oh, you didn't lose it?
No, I didn't. I didn't. We went through over 50 matches. There's 24 in a 22 or 24 matches in a set of book matches, right? So we were well into the third one. Oh, and
so funny.
I mean, now, you know, his left hand's getting burned up. So finally, I take the box of Rice Chex and I put it on the floor, and now he can see, and I'm just staring at Bruce with this look as I'm dipping my mask into the water. And in an instant, he wasn't that stone. In an instant, he realized exactly what I'd been doing. I mean, I was calling my shot. I swear to God, I was going, all right, Bruce, this time I'm going to try to put it out just a third of the way down. Just a third. Let me concentrate.
Oh, that's perfect.
Stare at it. And it went down just a third of the way, and it went out. And I acted like I was kind of shocked, kind of surprised, almost a little afraid of this new power. What does it mean? Is God working through me? Is this the devil? I mean, who is doing this? How do I have this power? And I was really acting perfectly to convince Bruce that I just had this power, and he thought he should have it too.
So what did he do when he saw you?
So when he saw me dipping, he immediately understood. And being the wonderful guy that he is, he was not mad. We just exploded in laughter. Only two times in my life have I ever fallen to the floor helpless with laughter. One was in ninth grade when we put a tack on Brother Andrew's chair. And this was the second time. And I literally fell out of my chair onto the floor, and he and I were screaming laughing so hard for so long.
Such a great image.
And it could have gone, 8, 9, 10 minutes of just hilarity, and then I got back up and we looked at each other and we're laughing. I mean, it was that kind of laughter where you get tired and you now feel beaten up because you just exhausted. And I was concentrating. I mean, this went on for like 40 minutes. So I was holding all of this in, and then it exploded out.
Oh, man, so that's great.
So that's not the half of it.
There's more?
Yes. We go to bed because, and this is how long ago this was, not only was there morning radio, there was morning TV for comics. Comedy was such a new, wonderful thing. And the comics would go on TV shows.
Right.
And the middle act. I was the middle. And they wanted me on too. So he and I had to get up. The car was coming at, 4:45 or 5 o'clock in the morning. And so we had to get to bed. So we drag ourselves up to bed, just literally, I'm not kidding, exhausted from laughter. Just exhausted. So he's in his room, I'm in mine. And this is an old building that had been rehabbed. It's all brick walls, so it was probably factory or something. So these walls are not, drywall
that you can
put your fist through.
Pretty thin.
Is brick.
Oh, brick. It's brick the other wall. Way. Okay.
Yeah, no. This is solid, solid, solid. And still, you're sitting in bed, and then it hits you again what happened, and you start laughing out loud. And then he'd hear me laughing. And then from his room, I'd hear him laughing.
Oh, that's
at
so funny.
My laughing. And then, you're trying to settle down, okay? And all of a sudden, I hear him laughing. And so then I start laughing. And we couldn't stop this ping-ponging back and forth of every 2-3 minutes. All of a sudden, one of us would laugh, and the other would hear it and start laughing again.
And this was all having to get up early for the TV show coming.
Yes, and I didn't want it to happen. It wasn't like this is more fun. We just wanted to get to sleep, and we were exhausted. I mean, I really felt like, you'd run a marathon or something. I was just exhausted, but you'd start laughing every 2-3 minutes, and then he'd hear me. So it got to the point where I wanted to, one, to not cause him to laugh anymore, and two, to keep it from happening and getting that ping ponging back and forth.
Right, get some sleep yourself.
They started. So I put my face into the mattress and put the pillow over my head and tried to hold it as tight. So if I started laughing, my laugh would go into the mattress and be covered by the pillow, and we wouldn't start the cascades of laughter. So, but then I'm thinking about the absurdity of that moment, that I'm covering my head with a pillow, and then I started laughing at that. And my laughs were so strong, it was going into the mattress, hitting the metal springs, and coming back with a ping. The laughter was coming back with a springy ping to it. And that just set me off hysterically again. Then I just walked.
That...
And then Bruce, he's just losing it in his room.
Oh, what a great first road experience, and so unique.
Here's the thing. That was my first week on the road. And you think, well, the road, no wonder people love the road. It's great fun out here. I've never had that much fun on the road ever again. I've had fun, but it was never that good.
Well, you self-created your own moment. I mean, it's kind of like the caveman days where all you have is fire.
Yeah.
Oh,
stories by the fire.
I bet Bruce has fond memories of that.
He was a little chagrined for years when I would bring it up.
Oh, that's great. How did the TV spot go?
Podcast.
Oh, did you? Good. Tell everybody about your podcast real quick.
My podcast is called An Agnostic's Guide to Heaven. And I'm a life coach and a spiritual guru. I'm helping people. People need help, and I want to give back.
And it's really good. I've heard it several times.
Or it's a storytelling exercise with the framework of me being a life coach.
How did the TV bit go?
We were tired. No, it went well. I mean, you know, I just like Bruce so much, and he is such a fun guy, as you well know. And so anytime you're with him, you're going to have some fun and laugh. And he's so supportive and is such a good guy.
No,
but yeah, we got up, did TV and radio. I don't think we told that story. I don't think he wanted that out.
No, I'm sitting stone watching my friend put out matches with his mind. I don't think that's good TV. Well, Tim, that's a great first road story. It sounds like something that obviously you've carried with you for 40 years. Congratulations, yes. And thanks for sharing it with my audience.
Oh, my pleasure.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was our Audience of One bonus podcast. Tim, thanks so much for joining us today.
Oh, my pleasure. Anytime.
Everybody stay tuned this Sunday. We'll have another new show. Bye.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Stand Up Comedy, Your Host and MC. For information on the show, merchandise, and our sponsors, or to send comments to Scott, visit our website at www.standupyourhostandmc.com. Look for more episodes soon and enjoy the world of stand-up comedy. Visit a comedy showroom near you.